The spiritual battle that we're against has not been seen before. It's not. The last 3 years have uncovered some things that for some people have been hidden and are very eye-opening, but God said, I've already seen it. And I'm coming back to expose. And even as you begin to read, and Misty and I have been reading through Jeremiah over the last several days, that what is happening and what did happen in the book of Jeremiah, you're seeing a lot of happen today. That God is exposing falsehood and that he's trying to get people to see the error of their ways and to stop looking at man for answers. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life, and he is the Almighty. And we're going to have to fight through some of that tendency to want to lean on man and lean on your own understanding if we're going to get to where God has called us to get to. And that means coming against some religious thought and how we think church should be and how we think God should be. And I'm not coming against the way you grew up and the way you learned things, but perhaps there was some misappropriation of teaching and things that we caught that were not correct. And instead of bringing us into freedom, it brought us into bondage and not allowing us to experience the fullness that the Spirit of God wants to bring into our life. I thank God for the heritage that I have, but I'm not bound to it. I thank God that he freed me for some things that were incorrect and were legalistic because of my idea of spirituality and what I thought spirituality was. Spirituality is not about how good you can be. It is not how much you can attain and how much you think you can get God to be impressed by you. God is not impressed by you. It doesn't matter how much you do or how much you don't do. God's love remains the same. It's constant. What he's after is he's after your heart. And the reason why he came is to bring you into freedom, not to lock you back up into your old ways. If that were the case, why did he come? Or he probably should have stayed up in heaven. I came to free you. And so the reason why there's a fight over that freedom and the enemy doesn't want you to be free because he knows the danger in a believer finally walking in freedom, it's a threat to him. So when you come against things like inclusivity and when you stand up against identity issues and when you stand up for truth in the midst of things that are not right or correct, it is a threat to him and he gets nervous. That's why he starts to bring up all that stuff in your life. Oh, you know you're abused. Why even try to say anything? Oh, you're not better than them, so why even try? You know you dealt with that even when you were a kid, so why even raise your voice now? Who do you think you are? So all the stuff begins to pop up. And so you got to be strong enough to know that's what I was. That's not who I am. And so God is raising up a church who knows who they are so they can speak against those things that are not correct. And so we deal with those things incrementally in our life because God wants to help free us from those things in different stages. And I'm telling you, the more you get free, the better you're going to feel about your relationship with God. And that includes understanding some of the things that the Bible talks about specifically over the next 4 weeks when the Bible talks about tongues, it talks about prophecy, women in ministry, and what happens and what's supposed to be correct and not right in church order. So that's why we thought it was essential for us to go into this because we felt like God was trying to help people navigate through some of their own thought process about what these things are like. Because these things were never designed to put us into bondage so that we can argue over whether or not you think it's correct or not. They were there so that they can actually lead you into freedom. You know the reason why the Bible was written? It was to help lead you into freedom. Freedom. Not to help you get stuck in arguments about whether or not you're once saved or you can lose it. Or whether or not communion should be done every week. So that you can actually walk in freedom. So you understand and you begin to see in your life when things begin to threaten that freedom, it's not God. You understand what I'm saying? So when things begin to threaten that freedom, it's not God. And God will help you understand that and see that. So tongues is an issue that people deal with at a couple levels. They're freaked out. What are these people doing? Or they totally embrace it and they go so right that there's no fruit. You have a conversation with them and you can tell they're not really listening to you. It's all about the spiritual. I'm just trying to order a hamburger because I'm hungry. I don't need to know that God created the meat. I don't have to know anything about that. Okay. I just want to know. I want a number one with no onion. And so if we can get past that, we'll go. So we got to understand that we got a lot of people who quote unquote are real spiritual, but they don't really operate in the natural well. But then on the flip side, we have a lot of Christians who are really, really worldly minded, who that even when you begin to flow in the spirit, they can't connect with it because secretly they're still carnally minded. They're Jesus followers in name, but don't ask them to go deep or follow Christ because then it gets weird and hard because then that means sacrifice and denial and pressure and suffering. And that's too difficult to give up. So my prayer is that the Holy Spirit speaks to you on these things and brings revelation to you. And that you can begin to understand what is the purpose of these things and why are they here. I will give you an example for myself. I am what we would call baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Okay? You can't tell me that it's not real. Because I experienced it when I was 11. So if there's that, and I'm very honest with you. It's very difficult to debunk millions of people who do speak in tongues. The issue is the understanding of it and why people have an issue with it, because they don't think that it's for today. However, the Lord could speak to you about that. Decently in an order, let's pick it up, Acts chapter 1. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Very simple verse. You will receive power, dunamis. The actual word means wonder-working power. You have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So when the enemy tries to come in and negate your faith, he's doing it because he's challenging really the Spirit of God that's placed inside of you. Okay, so you're a Christian. I'm going to challenge that thought process. And I really want to see if you really are a Christian and what are you going to do with my assessment of you? That's why a lot of people don't speak in tongues, is because they're afraid of letting go of control and giving over their full self to Jesus because of what that would look like. The purpose of the Holy Spirit coming in your life is power to be a witness. There's a couple meanings to that word. First meaning is this: one who testifies. You testify of what you have seen. So when the Holy Spirit came on that day of Pentecost, it was an empowering for them to go out and to testify, being eyewitness to the fact that I walked with Jesus. I saw Jesus. Now the Holy Spirit is continuing that ministry through us as we go throughout the provinces of where we are. As God sends us to the uttermost parts of the earth, we are going in his power to continue the work that Jesus started. And as we do that, we're an eyewitness to what he did. Most of the disciples, the original 12, we know Judas hung himself. The rest, besides John, died gruesome deaths for their faith. That's the second meaning of the word, martus. Death because of your belief in Christ. And so we like to look at these things and argue the purpose. What is the purpose? The first purpose is power, to be a witness, and if necessary, die for your faith. Because you live in a nation that is soft and are not faced with persecution like other nations are daily. Other nations that have to meet underground and hide. You're not faced with that type of persecution where people who need the power of the Holy Spirit in their life to survive. You're dealing with inclusivity and whether or not John thinks he's a woman or not. They're dealing with the fact that there's a gun that's going to be pointed to their head if they mention the word Jesus. So you tell me which one's ready. People are still struggling with this. They're dealing with their life every day. They're facing death every single day because of the possibility of someone finding out who Jesus Christ is. And we're struggling with this here. God said, listen, let's gain perspective. You can't stand up for me when someone says that this is incorrect. You can't come against that and say, no, this is the truth. And you can't do that. On the flip side, this person's about to face beheading because they mentioned my name. Guess who I'm looking at? This one. He said, you're either for me or you're against me. That's one of the things that really popped out to me as I began to read the prophets during this fast this month, is that God did not play. He didn't play back then. He doesn't play now. He was speaking specifically and saying, if you do this, this will happen. And I just want to let you know, this is going to happen to you. And they did it anyway. By the way, what I told you before is correct. And in 2 months, you're going to die. And guess what? They died. Because we take God and we compartmentalize him in testaments. He's an Old Testament God and he's a New Testament God. And then we look at the Old Testament God and say, well, I can never live there because it was too difficult. I like the New Testament God because of the sacrifice that he made and the grace that was there. The problem is that we forget that the grace that was sufficient for then. The grace that is sufficient was sufficient for now. But it's the same God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same one. He doesn't change just because the year changes to AD or you turn the page. Now, this is the soft Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is the soft one. I don't like the other one. He's the same one. Testifying and being martyred for their faith. Power to be a witness. I don't want the spirit then. Yeah, well, you're going to have to reconcile it. The days are coming when you're going to have to give an account for your faith, not just in heaven, but here. What are you going to do when that time comes? Power to be a witness, power to possibly die for your faith. And we don't like to talk about that a lot because we're praying for the rapture. Before any of that happens, because God forbid we have to suffer, we can't do it. And all you have to do is just peek over to the other countries and see that they're suffering. And if they can do it, I can do it. That's why, Lord, help me today. That's why most people, you talk to them, and I'm not knocking you on this, most people love to be pre-trib. Because God forbid, I read the word says he's taking me out and I'm ready to go. And when he takes me out, bye-bye, you can suffer. I'm not. I want to be in glory. And so we don't realize the scriptures say, well, there are certain scriptures that talk about enduring to the end, you'll be saved. Well, I don't like that one, man. I'm enduring. I've endured enough. When he pulls me out, I'm out. And so we don't like to talk about, I don't want to endure nothing. I don't want to do nothing. So let me just put it to you this way. Some of you are stuck, quote, stuck in your circumstances right now because God is teaching you how to endure. So that in the proper time, God can release you and you've understood what you've had to learn. And endurance has had its work in you. I hate running. I hate it. But the benefit of me learning how to be an endurance runner is a lot better for my heart than as being a short distance runner. If I can learn to run long distance and teach myself different things and learn how to breathe, I do a better job of teaching my heart how to be healthy. And I help deal with some of the things that are unhealthy and not processed well in my body. That's why you see a lot of people, they're out there running. What are they doing? Just running. They're running. There's a lady in my neighborhood, ask Misty. I kid you not. I don't know if she lives there. I know she lives there, but all day, walking around her neighborhood. I'm telling you, all day. All day. And nods every once in a while. losing weight, tan, man, like leather. I mean, listen, you ever want to get tan? Just walk around your neighborhood. Tan, drinking water. How you doing? Just active, active, active all day, all day. She's got endurance. You start dealing with other people, and that's why God places you in trials, is to help you and teach you how to endure. Because the Bible is not about just finishing well. You have to endure, endure, so that in the end, you'll be saved. And that means even in tough situations and seasons of your life, you endure to the end, and you'll be saved. That's why God doesn't graduate you first day. The walk with Christ is a process, and you graduate seasons when he's ready for you to graduate and go on to the next level. But until the lessons are learned, you don't get promoted. You know what that looks like. God keeps putting you back on the wheel to learn the lesson. Next time, we're not going to have an outburst and being irrational, right? Next time, we're just going to learn to take it and do it. Next time, we're going to keep our mouth shut, right? Yeah, okay. So this is a process. And then finally, when you get it, God said, you got it. Now we can move. Oh, okay. Endurance, endurance, endurance. Because he has to teach you on this level so that when you're faced with persecution, that you stand. What are you going to do in that process when someone comes up to you and says, tell me about your Jesus? What's your response? When you're brought before a court of law, or someone who has the power to determine your fate, what do you do? And these times are here. They're here. It's not like, well, they're coming. No, they're here. They're here. I'm going to need you to enact the policy that I want you to enact in our company. This is what we're going to be doing for inclusivity and values and things. Are you okay with that? You're going to have to wrestle with what you believe is right and not, even if that means or costs you your job. Well, I just can't do that. And if you don't think that people have lost their jobs because of values that have not worked or have not been in agreement with bosses over the last several years, we're missing the boat. There have been people who have retired because of what's taking place. There are people who have been fired because they didn't agree with what was taking place. This is not just one thing. This has been coming for a long time. And it has wreaked havoc on different levels of society, all the way down to our kids. But it's power to witness. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? I got to stand up in the midst of this. And if I can't stand up in the midst of it, I'm going to die. This morning in Team Raleigh, we talked about this. We talked about learning how to peek our head above the suffocation or the pressure that we feel. Because the enemy is wrapping himself around industries, plural, governments, plural, wrapping, and you have to learn to peek your head up above that to breathe and see. Because if you're not careful, you're going to get caught in that squeeze. This is not a time for you to question whether or not you want to be in or not. You should have thought about that a long time ago. Listen, so we've been married this year almost 20 years. A long time ago, we could have made the decision, we're not going to do this anymore. We're 20 years in. That's gone. That's why it always amazes me. I'm going to stop right there. Thank you, Jesus. But, okay. Because you learn endurance. Amen. Amen. So same thing with Jesus. If we don't by now know whether or not it's worth following him, we got bigger problems. Because how are you going to stand up for him when a pressure hits and you're called into question regarding your faith? Some of you have been saved a long time. You're experiencing things right now you've never experienced before. On several levels, not just one. You need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life now more than ever. He has to strengthen the weak areas so that you can stand up under this type of attack. You are up under unusual attack. This is not normal. It's unusual. And so he's pouring out his Spirit in these last days for this very purpose. The last days are not getting better. People, oh, it's going to get better. No one's talking about not having hope. You can. I'm going to argue with you, Pastor Richie. God doesn't want me to be happy. What do you mean? God wants you to be saved. He wants you to make it to the end. And if that means foregoing some pleasure so that you can make it, guess what? God will do that. Because God's purpose for you is to make it in the end. That's why the scripture in the New Testament is filled with endurance, is filled with standing, and when you've done all, to stand, to strengthen yourself. Second thing about this gift, it is a weapon. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, in the same way the Spirit helps in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Stop right there. The Holy Spirit, when we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, intercedes through us with wordless groans. It is not something that you can pin. It is not something that you can make sense of. So if you are trying to figure out what God is trying to do through you and reason through it, you're not going to make it, or you're not going to get it. It's wordless groans. Why? Because, next verse, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. You're not going to know because I'm interceding on your behalf, because I know his thoughts. It's a weapon. I'm trying to bring you into alignment with him, because the enemy is coming at you in different ways. This gift enables alignment and bypasses his ability to read it and sense it. And now we got direct communication, because I know what he's thinking and I know what he wants for you. And so that's why it's important. It's a weapon. You're able to bypass his defense system, because it gives you access to him on a deeper level. That's why there's a fight against you going deeper in your walk with Christ, because not only of the access that it gives you, but the power that it gives you. And the enemy wants you stuck in your ability to reason and rationalize. And if you can't get it in your head right, it must not be right. And so people fall prey to their own ability to try to figure things out. And if you continue to do that, you'll miss out on the power. Because it's not about you being able to figure it out. It's about you understanding that in weakness, he strengthens me. I don't know what to pray for, but he does. If you've ever felt the Holy Spirit, or you felt yourself groaning, it's Holy Spirit inside. Those of you who know what I'm talking about, as you go deeper, you sense it on a deeper level. And the evidence of that, Sharon, is that tongue that comes out. I can't express it. All I know how to express it is this. You're dealing with him on a different level. You're dealing with someone who's not a natural being. You're dealing with someone who has created a heavenly language for you, so that you can bypass the enemy and go to war in this fight. Because God wants you to get to where you need to get to, but guess who's lurking in the midst. That's why, and I don't want to get too far into this. Missy's going to share this. That's why when we talk about prayer, we talk about praying in the spirit and also praying in the understanding. You're doing both. Because you know as well as I do, when you start praying, all of a sudden your mind starts going crazy. Because there's an attack even on your mind, because your mind isn't the way it's supposed to be all the time. And so you're thinking about other things and you're trying to pray in the natural. The enemy's reminding you what you did, how you fell. Oh my God, is it going to work out? You're worrying about your kids. You're worrying about what's happening. And all of a sudden you got to stop and say, hold up, hold up. Engage that part of you. And then you begin to see alignment. You got to get the mind of Christ. That's why it's important. Chip, that's why the weapon's there. You need the mind of Christ. Because the way he looks at it and the way you look at it is very different. You look at your situation, oh, I'm losing, Lord, I'm losing. No, you're winning. You're winning. You just got to see it. It is a weapon to bypass the enemy. The book of Daniel talks about Daniel praying. He was on a 21-day fast, if you remember this. And the angel came to him and said, listen, we heard you day one. We heard you day one. But this thing was so big, and I was fighting against something that was so big, I had to get another angel to come fight with me. And I'm going to tell you here today, God has heard your cry. He has heard your prayer. But there are some things that are too big for us to comprehend and to understand. And that even the angels have to get help to fight. Because they are sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. That's who they are. So you're dealing with things on a larger level. And Daniel prayed for 21 days. He didn't get the answer to the 21st day. It's not that he wasn't heard the first day. But the answer didn't come in until the 21st day. And if you remember correctly, go back and read it. The angel said, hey, listen, when I leave, don't worry about it. There's another one coming, meaning another spirit coming against. Don't worry about it. He's coming. But I just want to let you know now, we heard you. And God's just today just wants to let you know, I heard you. But this thing is bigger than you, and there are things happening that you don't understand, and people are fighting. Just so you know, there's more with you than against you. I'm not just trying to break through in your life, God said. I'm trying to break through in the world. So if your eyes could be open right now to the size of it, it would probably shock you. Lord, I can't beat it. I know you can't, because you're in something that is bigger than you, and this is not kiddie pool stuff. Lord, I can't stand in this. I know you can't. But you can't. Because you can't do it in your own strength. That's why my spirit's there to help you. So we got to get a perspective and a panoramic of what God's doing. Sometimes you got to just step back. And God is faithful in this. If you'll let him, well, he'll let you see. Positionally, I'm already over it. But I have to walk in it in order to see the victory. This is the rub with Christianity. I've got victory, but I have to walk in that victory and walk it out. I can't just say I got it and there's no walk. That's not what it's like. So that means God has done everything, I do nothing. And that is a lie from the enemy. That says, well, I don't have to walk. That's a lie, and you got to come against that lie. I have to walk it out. The Bible talks about with fear and trembling, and I have to use the gifts that God has given me in order to win this thing. He's won it, but guess what? I'm winning. He's won it, but I have to win it. That makes sense to you. You got to see it differently. I got a victory if you're on the other side, Sharon, but you got to fight through this and get to the other side. It's there. I've got it for you. But your responsibility is to use the weapons that I've given you to get there. That's why they're there. And sometimes God will do that for you. I'm just waiting for you to just exercise a little bit of faith. Just a little bit. Are you using the gift? Because the one thing I do know about God is that he will take you from faith to faith and from glory to glory, and that gift will be exercised in every level, but it's going to be needed in a greater measure on the next level. It's going to be needed. Third thing, for personal edification, Jude chapter 20, or verse 20, there's only one chapter in Jude. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith, pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Build yourself up. I'm discouraged. Start praying in the Spirit. I don't know what to do. Get around some other people. Get in a community group. Just start praying for one another. God said, I'm going to take care of it in all angles for you. I'm going to give you the gift. You're going to have the power to witness. You're going to be able to testify. Some of you might give your life for me, but that's cool. It's going to be a weapon for you. You're going to be able to use it. And I'm also going to have you have other believers who are going to be also have this gift so that you can encourage one another. Because the day is drawing closer. So you got to get around community and you got to get around people who have the same mindset that you do. We're going to win this thing. We're going to take the ground that God's called us to win, but we got to do it and we're going to do it together. We're going to do it together. That makes sense to you. This isn't a hard-hitting word today, but this is something that's essential for us to understand. This is week one. Next week, we're going to talk about prophecy. Third week, we're talking about women in ministry. Some of you, I'm not coming. Well, it's okay. Okay. Fourth week, church order. What's up with church order? Because what happens is that we can take the gift and we can use the Holy Spirit and can get out of order. Get order. He wants to be poured out, right? He wants to do things in a greater way. But if we're not careful, we could also abuse that gift. We could abuse it. And people get turned off because of it. And so you're trying to do it in order so that he can get the glory. He can get the glory. Because the Spirit will be poured out in these last days. It's not that it's going to be. It will be. The question is, will you be ready? And will you have an understanding of what it is when it comes? Because the gift inside of you, the Holy Spirit that's been given to you, gives you discernment. How many of y'all ever been to service? You ever been somewhere else and something has happened and there's been some manifestation? You're like, man, that's not right. I don't feel right about that. The Holy Spirit's giving you discernment. That's what we need last day. That's what we need. So you're looking at a situation, you're looking at someone, and you're trying to read what's going on. The Holy Spirit will give you discernment. No, they're off. They're dealing with this. Discernment. Sometimes the Holy Spirit, we don't have time to go through it today, will give you a word of knowledge for someone about their situation right now. I don't know what you're going through, but I just feel like God's telling me to tell you, if you'll just A, B, C, and D. Oh, that bears witness. Awesome. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will give a word of wisdom to you about someone's future. Not fortune telling. We'll talk about that next week. Some people get freaked out about prophecy because they think it's fortune telling. You're reading into my palm. What is it saying? That's not what prophecy is. So the gifts are for today. You can read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but we have to operate within the grace that God has given us. And the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us that ability and that grace to operate in those gifts, okay? That includes when it comes to service order, tongues, and we'll talk about that some other time. But personal edification, are you doing it on your own? Are you being strengthened in your most holy faith? It's a gift. Why is this important? Because I believe this. There are Christians who are going to make it into heaven, no problem, no problem. But there are other Christians that God has called go deeper. Not just to get in, but to possess while you're here. And when you possess while you're here, that means you're going to come against things that normal people don't come against. They just don't. So you're going to try to do something for God on a larger level. You're going to be hit on a larger level that normal people don't get hit with. Are you prepared for that? Are you prepared? Lord, I want to go the distance with you. And God will say, are you prepared to go the distance with me? Because there are going to be things that you're going to fight on along the road that are going to be pretty hard. Pretty hard. And it's not for everybody. I'm just telling you right now, it's not for everybody. But in this house, it's different. It might be a yellow brick road, but there's stuff trying to take you out along that road. Because God said, I'm doing something on a greater level. And on that greater level, there are different levels of spiritual forces that you're going to fight against. And you need my Spirit to be able to combat against it. Because there will be things that you're going to encounter that a lot of people do not encounter because you're called, you're set apart, and you're chosen. Band, come on if you can. Sometimes this is tough to share because people automatically in their head and even in their spirit, there's a blockade that comes up because they start filtering stuff through what they've experienced. And they start saying, nah, one time I heard it and it turned me off. And so the Holy Spirit has to break through that stuff and say, no, done in a right way. There's power in it. So are you willing to miss out on the real power that he gives because of some fool who did it wrong? And if you're not careful and you're not mature enough as a Christian, you'll miss out on the fullness of God because of something that you saw someone do who wasn't walking in the Spirit. I'm being nice today. You know I'm being nice. I'm being real nice, okay? Had a good night's sleep. Okay, so good. So walking, thank you. So walking in the fullness of God because of that, and we'll stop short. But if there's something inside of you that's stirring and say, no, there's more for you. I got more for you? That's God saying, come on up and trust me. You might have seen it done wrong, but come on up and trust me, I got it for you. You don't have to be afraid of what God wants to give you. And if we're honest, people get there in their head. I'm afraid about what God wants to give me because what is it going to require of me? What's it going to require? I'll tell you what's going to require of you. Ask, seek, knock. It's also going to require you letting go of your ability to understand everything in your life. Because you cannot. There are too many things that are happening in your life that are out of your control. And you're not going to have the ability to understand it. Only God can understand it. He's the one. Why? Because in verse 28, it says, Alan, go ahead and put that back up there for me. It's all right, girl. Follow me. It says, all things work together for good. To them that love God and who are called according to his purpose. So I have to trust that in everything that's taking place, everything is working together for my good. And if it's working together for my good, I'm going to engage it. I'm going to come in. I know it's hard, but I'm going to get up on in it. I'm going to get up on in it. If you'll have that mentality that you just want it, Lord, I just want what you have for me. You'll get up on in it. God said, I will reward that. And it'll work for you. Because when you begin to work your faith, guess what? God begins to work in you. As God begins to draw you, all of a sudden you'll begin to draw near to God and things begin to work. That relationship works. Why? Because God responds to faith. I'm not trying to get you to respond in your understanding, Richie. Respond in faith. And when you start to see God working in faith, it fires you up and you say, okay, let's get on in this thing. And God wants those type of people who are in battle and who are in war. If we got to get in a foxhole, let's get in a foxhole. If we have to hold a gun, let's hold a gun. If I have to stand by this tree for 30 minutes before I'll do that. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll get in it. I'll get dirty if I need to get dirty. Stop playing it safe. I hope he goes. God bless him. Hope he goes. No, why don't you go? Why don't you go after God? Why don't you? And instead of just clapping other people and say, praise Jesus, he made it. Why don't you make it? Why don't you be the person who says, I'm going the distance. It's hard. I'm cut up. But I'm going to do it. Because I want to be the one who God uses. Why wait on someone else? Why be the fan on the sideline saying, oh, yes, go. He is for me. Why put me in the game? Isn't there something inside of you that says, Lord, let me get inside. I don't know everything, but I know that I have the Holy Spirit and greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Whatever. Let me just go. And God will take that person, that one, rather than the person who's like, loving Jesus from a distance, trying to figure out who they are. I'm going to help you today. God does not create confusion. He will allow it. There are things, don't come against me with the fact that, well, he sent a tormenting spirit to Saul. What does that mean? No. What God does is he allows circumstances to get your attention. What God said is right. What God creates is right. You don't have to doubt your identity. Start there. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. He has that for you. There's no change in that. Be okay with the way God created you. And then have the mentality that says, Lord, put me in the game. Isn't there something exciting about being in the game and you don't really know the outcome? You just want to be in it? You just want to be in it. Well, I'd rather know the outcome. Lord, tell me the outcome before I go in. You're not going to know. That's why we do this thing. You're not going to know. I've got the victory, but the way we get there is up to me, baby. You got to trust. And if you're willing to trust and get in it, God said, I'll get in it with you. Don't you just want to play free in life? And the only way you play free is abandoning how you think the outcome should go or the way you should take and get in it and be okay getting hit, be okay getting a bruise, be okay getting cut. I got stuff all up inside of me that if I were to show you, you'd be shocked. But still here. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. It's the beauty of playing in it. Because he makes up the difference. In my weakness, the Holy Spirit helps. Not in my strength. I can't do it. I know you can, but I got you. Get on in there, man. How do you think Daniel could get into a lion's den and stay there all night? Because the Holy Spirit was with him. Shut the mouth. Get up in there. Get up in it. David before Goliath. I know who God is. I'm taking you out today. Why? Because he knew who God was. Do you know who God is? That's the problem. We don't. The church world is infatuated with beautiful buildings and they're infatuated with the way the songs were sung. But on a deeper level, we don't know God. We don't know the fighter God, who he is. We don't know God on a deep level, the confidence that we need to get in up and after it. I don't need you to pacify me with stories about how good it was. I need you to get in there with me. And if you're going to do it, let's do it. I need a God who says, if you're for me, and not against me, good, I can go in. If you say I'm good, Lord, I'm good. I'm gonna go in after it. I got you. But you gotta be willing to go in. He helps in our weakness. You're expecting to come against some giants. And you're expecting to come against those giants with God with you. That's the confidence you should have. So that when you do come against those giants, you know that God's already spoken to you. I'm with you, man. Let's get through this. Time after time, you read. Disciples just overcoming. By the blood and the word of their testimony. What's the word of the testimony? They're testifying. They're testifying who Jesus was. I don't have silver, I don't have gold, but in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. We're not gonna stop preaching Jesus. I know we're in the synagogue. I know we're in the spiritual court of the land. But Jesus is who he says. You can beat me if you want to. This is what they went through. They went back out, did the same thing. Peter said, don't crucify me this way. Put me upside down. What type of faith is that? I'm going to my cross. Hey, I'm not worthy. Put me upside down. I'll get on it. Martyrs. Why? Because the Holy Spirit endued them with power. And that's what he's trying to do today. So that when someone comes against you, what you got to do? Go ahead and do it. It's fine. We don't have that type of faith. Most people don't. Because when people don't agree with us, we crawl back into dysfunction. And we start licking our wounds. I'm never coming out again. We laugh because we've grown soft. Because we're taking the sacrifice for Jesus for granted, man. That this is a walk that you're going to have to fight in. You're going to stand up in this thing. I told you before, and I'll tell you it again. I remind you till the day I leave this church. When God spoke to me and said, if you don't fight in this one, you're going to die. And God did not mince words. Richie, I love you. If you don't fight in this one, you're not going to make it. And I've held that because I saw the result. If I didn't fight, I wouldn't be here today. If I don't keep fighting, I'm not going to make it. God does not just deliver you and say, okay, now you can ride out the rest of your life. Nothing will come against you. It's false. It's discipleship. You're going to make it to the end. You're going to come up some things to the day you die. Even on your deathbed, the enemy can be whispering to your ear, I'm making it though.